Good afternoon, everyone. This is the Wednesday afternoon, July 14th, 2021 session of the Portland City Council. Keelan, good afternoon. Please call the roll.
Good afternoon. Hardesty.
Here.
Maps.
Here.
Rubio.
Here.
Ryan.
Here.
Wheeler.
Here. Under Portland City Code and State Law, the Portland City Council is holding this meeting electronically. All commissioners are participating via technology. And the audio broadcast of this meeting is available to the public on a number of channels, including the city's YouTube channel, eGov PDX, www.portlandoregon.gov/video and channel 30. We thank everybody for the opportunity to participate. If people would like to participate, you can email the council clerk at cctestimony@portlandoregon.gov. Thank you all for your patience and your understanding and flexibility as we manage through these circumstances to conduct the city's business. With that, I'll turn it over to legal counsel for the rules of order and decorum. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor and members of council. To participate in council meetings, you may sign up in advance with the council clerk's office for communications to briefly speak about any subject. You may also sign up for public testimony on resolutions or first readings of ordinances. The published council agenda is available at portlandoregon.gov/auditor and contains information about how and when you may sign up for testimony while the city council is holding electronic meetings. Your testimony should address the matter being considered at the time. When testifying, please state your name for the record. Your address is not necessary. Please disclose if you are a lobbyist. If you're representing an organization, please identify it. The presiding officer determines the length of testimony. Individuals generally have 3 minutes to testify unless otherwise stated. When your time is up, the presiding officer will ask you to conclude. Disruptive conduct such as shouting, refusing to conclude your testimony when your time is up, or interrupting others' testimony or council deliberations will not be allowed. If there are disruptions, a warning will be given that further disruption may result in the person being placed on hold or ejected from the remainder of the electronic meeting. Please be aware that all council meetings are recorded.
One time certain item this afternoon, item 567, please.
Consider appeal of the Northwest District Neighborhood Association against the Design Commission's decision to approve with conditions a proposed new five-story mixed-use building at 1137 Northwest 23rd Avenue in the Northwest Plan District, LU20-123610DZM.
And folks, if everybody can make sure you're muted, please. First, we're going to hear from the city attorney to make some announcements about today's hearing. Hi, Lauren.
Hi. This is an evidentiary hearing. This means that you may submit new evidence to council in support of your arguments. For an evidentiary hearing, we begin with the staff report by the Bureau of Development Services staff for approximately 10 minutes. Following the staff report, City Council will hear from interested persons in the following order. The appellant will go first and will have 10 minutes to present his or her case. Following the appellant, persons who support the appeal will go next. Each person will have 3 minutes to speak to council. The principal opponent will have 15 minutes to address the council and rebut the appellant's presentation. If there is no principal opponent, the council will move directly to testimony from persons who oppose the appeal after supporters of the appeal conclude their testimony. After the principal opponent, council will hear from persons who oppose the appeal. Again, each person will have 3 minutes to testify. And finally, the appellant will have 5 minutes to rebut the presentation of the opponents to the appeal. Council may then close the hearing, deliberate, and take a vote on the appeal. If the vote is a tentative vote, the council will set a future date for adoption of findings and a final vote on the appeal. If council takes a vote today, that will conclude the matter before the council. The scope of testimony. For evidentiary hearings, I'd like to make several announcements of guidelines for those who are addressing City Council today. Regarding submitting evidence into the record, any letters or documents you wish to become a part of the record should be emailed to the council clerk after you testify. Similarly, the original or copy of any slides, photographs, drawings, maps, videos, or other items you show the council during your testimony, including PowerPoint presentations, should be given to the council clerk to make sure they become part of the record. Testimony must be directed to the approval criteria. Any testimony, arguments, and evidence you present must be directed toward the applicable approval criteria for this land use review or other criteria in the city's comprehensive plan or zoning code that you believe apply to this decision. The BDS staff will identify the applicable approval criteria as a part of their staff report to the council. Issues must be raised with specificity. You must raise an issue clearly enough to give the council and the parties an opportunity to respond to an issue. If you don't, you'll be precluded from appealing to the Land Use Board of Appeals based on that issue. And the applicant must identify constitutional challenges to the conditions of approval. If the applicant fails to raise constitutional or other issues related to the proposed conditions of approval with enough specificity to allow the council to respond, the applicant will be precluded from bringing an action for damages in circuit court. That's all for me.
With that, colleagues, do any members of the council wish to declare a conflict of interest? I don't see anybody. Do any members of the council have any ex parte contacts they wish to declare or information gathered outside of this hearing that they'd like to disclose? Not seeing any hand raised for that. Have any members of the council made any visits to the site involved in this matter? Not seeing any commissioners raise their hand. Do any council members have any other matters that need to be disclosed prior to continuing with the hearing? I'm not seeing anything. So with that, we'll move right into the staff report. Commissioner Ryan, I don't know if you have an introduction.
I do not.
Very good. Staff report, please.
Hi, I'm Chris Jeffries with Bureau of Development Services. I'm going to share my screen. Just checking to make sure my screen is shared.
Yeah, it looks good.
Okay. So good afternoon, Mayor and Council members. My name is Grace Jeffries. I'm a city planner with the Design and Historic Review Team with Land Use Services at BDS. I'm here to introduce this Type 3 Land Use Appeal for the Northwest 23rd and Marshall Apartments. Here's a quick view of the order of appearance and time allowances for this evidentiary de novo appeal hearing, starting with my staff report. So this site is shown in red. It's located in the western edge of the Northwest Plan District, running Northwest 23rd Avenue, shown in yellow. In this location, Northwest 23rd is designated a main street, and it's on a streetcar alignment, which is shown in the hatched. This is a zoning map for the site, indicated in red, which is zoned commercial, mixed use to design, and center's Main Street overlays. The added shading denotes the commercial zoned areas in orange, focused on Northwest 23rd and the streetcar zones headed east. And the residential zoned areas are shown in green, which include the areas directly west of 23rd and in the site. This proposal is within its zoning allowances with inclusionary housing bonus for FAR, the proposal is 3.8:1, which is under the allowed 4:1, and height, which is 55 feet, which this is. The site has a 200-foot long full block frontage on Northwest 23rd. And it lies between Northwest Marshall and Northwest Northrop Streets. Northwest 23rd Avenue is a pedestrian-oriented commercial focus for the Northwest Plan District. The streetcar wraps 23rd at this location. To the east of the site across Northwest 23rd is a six-story Good Samaritan Hospital. To the west of the site is the Nob Hill residential area. Applicant seeks Type 3 design review approval for a five-story mixed-use building on this site with 10,000 square feet of ground floor retail, that's shown in the bottom left, the ground floor in orange. There's 74 residential units in the four floors above that, that's shown in blue in the upper left corner. There's 44 below grade parking spaces, which are accessed off of Northrop. And there are residential amenities that include private and communal terraces and decks. The upper right image shows the view from the east side, which faces Northwest 23rd. And the lower right image shows the west side view, which faces the Nob Hill residential area. You can see the massing of the building has been stepped back from the west property line in kind of a U shape. In this location, the approval criteria for design review are the community design guidelines. There's additionally four modifications to zoning code requests that have been added to the review, and the approval criteria for those are Portland Zoning Code Section 33825. 040. The project has gone through a Type 3 design review. Consistent with reviews of this type, feedback was solicited from interagency partner bureaus as well as the public. The site was posted with images, a description of the proposal, the contact information for staff planner and the applicant, and a mailed notice was sent out to nearby registered organizations as well as neighboring residents. A public hearing was held on May 6, 2021, and at that hearing, the Design Commission approved the project. That decision of approval was then appealed by the Northwest District Association on June 4, 2021. At the May 6th Design Commission hearing, the commission considered whether the proposal met all the guidelines, and they found that in response to context, the design responded well to the varying adjacent contexts, the streetcar commercial area to the east, residential to the west. They also found that they responded to the public realm, that active ground floor use and storefront designs enhanced those three street frontages. And they found that the quality materials and thoughtful details complemented the rich textures of the district. So because they found that the proposal met all the relevant guidelines, they approved the design review with modifications. Public interest included 9 written comments plus public testimony at the hearing. A primary concern heard was related to the approval criteria, which focused on a lack of a step back of the upper fifth story. The NWA appealed the decision of approval, and in their appeal statement, they listed their concern as follows. The staff report finding for community design guideline P1, plan area character, P1.1 urban character design-wide considerations, does not address the content of the subject guideline regarding setbacks at the street facade, and they felt inappropriate refers to required setbacks of other facades and parapet and cornice detailing, both of which they felt were irrelevant to complying with the guideline. Before I jump into this specific issue, though, I'm going to begin with a little bit of background information. First, review of the design review process, followed by how the design guidelines are intended to be used, and then finally to guideline P1. For design review, staff and the volunteer commission weigh proposals put forward against the relative design guidelines for the site. During the design review process, we do also study the surrounding context for each specific site to inform the review. If a proposal is found to meet the guidelines, it's approved. If it doesn't yet meet the guidelines, we work with applicants to refine the design to ensure it does meet the guidelines or a proposal would be denied. For this review, the approval criteria are the community design guidelines, as I mentioned. Direction on how the guidelines are intended to be used can be found in the introduction to the community design guidelines. It notes that while design guidelines are mandatory approval criteria that must be met as part of a design review, it also notes that the design review process is designed to be flexible, to encourage designs that are innovative and appropriate to a specific location. And unlike objective design standards, there are many acceptable ways to meet each guideline. The guideline center to this appeal is guideline P1, plan area character, which asks proposals to enhance the sense of place and identity by incorporating site and building design features that respond to the area's desired characteristics and traditions. Guideline P1 references Appendix J for the design characteristics and traditions within the Northwest District Plan Area. Appendix J then provides general district-wide considerations shown here, which are intended to give a general sense of the qualities of the district. However, these are not area-specific. For each of the different areas that make up the Northwest Plan District, there are more specific considerations provided. This site, shown in red, is in the streetcar main streets area. For new development of a site in the streetcar main streets area, more specific direction is provided under the headings of architecture, urban pattern, and desired characteristics and traditions. All of these factors, the general district-wide and the area-specific, provide guidance on how to meet guideline P1 and enhance the sense of place and identity for development of this specific site. The appeal points to one aspect of the more general district-wide considerations, which asks that new buildings and additions that are taller than the 2-to-4-story building height that is predominant in the district should have the upper stories stepped back in order to contribute to a more consistent streetscape and to maintain neighborhood scale. In their deliberations and findings, the commission found that the proposal met guideline P1, plan area character, in numerous ways. The predominantly brick-clad building has a split block massing. There are tall storefront windows, generous canopies to protect pedestrians, generous outdoor dining opportunities, reflecting the district's architectural scale and its fine-grained pattern of development. The highly active ground floor with upper story residences continues the historic use patterns of the district and contributes to a more consistent streetscape. And while the upper fifth floor is not stepped back from Northwest 23rd, the four-story building height datum is addressed to maintain that consistent streetscape and neighborhood scale facing 23rd. The commission found that on balance, the proposed design contributed to a more consistent streetscape and helped better maintain neighborhood scale for this specific site by locating the five-story massing east toward Northwest 23rd, facing the commercial area, the streetcar line, and the six-story hospital across the street, rather than shifting it closer toward the smaller scaled residential areas to the west. As the deciding body, you have three options in front of you today. First, you can deny the appeal and uphold the Design Commission's decision of approval. You can deny the appeal but modify the Commission's decision and instruct the applicant to revise the design and return to the Council at a future date. Or you can grant the appeal, thereby overturning the Commission's decision of approval. In this case, the project would be denied. So this is the end of my slideshow. I welcome your questions. I do have additional background slides if you need further detail.
Very good, thank you. Any questions at this juncture, colleagues? And if not, Grace, does that complete your staff report?
It does.
All right, very good. So now we'll hear from the appellant. Do we have an appellant?
He's muted. Steve, you have to unmute.
I'm so sorry.
There you are.
My name is Steve Pinger. I'm representing the Northwest District Association. And I too would like to share my screen. Okay. I'll try and keep this brief because I think this is a fairly narrow issue. We are feeling that one finding regarding one guideline is at issue here regarding the decision on this project. So what this appeal is about is one thing, the guideline that Grace had referred to, and again, I will reiterate, new buildings and additions that are taller than the 2 to 4 story building height that is predominant in the district should have upper stories step back in order to contribute to a more consistent streetscape and maintain neighborhood scale. This is a fundamental guideline for the Northwest District. The question is whether this guideline is met. What this appeal is not about is affordable housing, nor is it about step downs at the rear or west side of the building that are required by the base zone, nor is it about allowable height and bonuses as within the allowable height relative to the bonus that it is taking, nor is it about design quality. I think the District Association feels this is respectively a well-designed building. Four staff opinions, design commission preferences, or is it, it is about a 6-inch step back or a small projecting cornice detail. And I'll return to that because I think that's kind of the gist of this question about the finding and the meeting of this guideline. The staff report's finding, which we feel is an error, was the basis of the decision. And the staff report finding that this guideline was met, and the Design Commission essentially went along with that erroneous finding and approved the proposal of a fundamental guideline that was clearly unmet. The staff report finding regarding guideline P1 states that a significant portion, almost a third of the north and south elevations, are in fact four stories tall, which is terrific, except it's also irrelevant. The guideline refers in particular to the street facing elevation, which is the east elevation. Additionally, the staff report finding indicates that the building has a brick cornice detail at this datum height that is further enhanced with a 6-inch step back to the upper floor, and that this meets the guideline for a step back at the upper floor. What the base zoning allows, and this is looking at the project if it were four stories, is something essentially like this, which would be 45-foot maximum height. For this project, they are taking advantage of the height bonus for affordable housing, so the project is now 55 feet maximum height and complies with the allowable height for the site with the bonus. This site additionally slopes 10 feet from the north to the south face, making the northern facades essentially 65 feet in nominal height, which amplifies the basis for this guideline, which is to have the apparent height and mass of the building mitigated to the street and to the sidewalk and street envelope. Additionally, this is indicating the cornices and 6-inch step back that was referred to in the finding as being the equivalent in terms of meeting the guideline of the step back that is stated in the guideline. If the step back were to have been provided and the guideline met, the building would appear more like this, with the upper floors set back not only on the west side, but on the east, south, and north sides as well, which would achieve the fundamental purpose of the guideline, which is to, again, keep the scale of the building consistent with the streetscape. The provision of cornices, I don't believe, is remotely the same as what the guideline asks for. So what this appeal is about is what the guideline actually says and whether the proposed building conforms to the guideline, and whether the finding of the staff report accurately reflects what the guideline says and if it is met, and what basis the commission has to approve a proposal with a clearly unmet guideline, even if for an otherwise good building. I think the commission was correct in identifying this as a well-designed project. We agree with that. It is a good building. But we are also concerned about what happens when a not so good building shows up and asks for the same essentially shaded precedent, that guideline doesn't need to be followed. More broadly, this appeal is about also respecting the thousands of citizen hours that were involved in developing the Northwest District Plan and its guidelines. And fundamentally, whether that plan and its guidelines have both standing and meaning. Therefore requests a couple of things. That council direct BDS staff to interpret guidelines directly and accurately. I think our observation over the years have been is that the interpretations of guidelines have gotten, have gone beyond being flexible, have gotten adventurous and creative, and sometimes tortured. Direct the Design Commission to not approve proposals where any guidelines are not met. And finally, to direct both entities to support and enforce the Northwest District Plan and all the other community plans in our city. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Colleagues, any questions at this juncture? Seeing none, we will now ask for supporters of the appeal. That means if you like what you just heard, this is your opportunity to chime in. Keelan, do we have anybody signed up as supporters of the appeal?
We have one person signed up, John Zarnicki.
All right, John, if you could just state your name for the record and 3 minutes, please.
Thank you very much, Mayor and Council. I'm John Zarnicki. I'm a Northwest District resident and member of the NWDA Planning Committee. However, I'm testifying on my own behalf very briefly as a neighborhood resident. I completely support the appeal. The main, in addition to the points previously stated, I'm considerably cautious about whether or not the plan and its guidelines have standing and meaning in the long term. The guidelines are there to make the city more livable. And if they're not paid attention to, why have them, frankly? That's about it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And does that complete, Keelan, the supporters?
It does.
Okay, then we will now hear from the principal opponent, 15 minutes.
Good afternoon. I am Christy White, Land Use Counsel for the applicant. Principal opponent of the appeal with me today is the applicant, Seth McGarray of C. John, and the architect, Richard Dobro of GBD. I'm going to introduce the applicant's response to the appeal and then hand it over to the design experts to walk you around the building. Although I believe Grace Jeffrey's presentation was very comprehensive on all these points, so we'll try to keep it brief. As you heard from her presentation, the city's design review staff recommended approval of this proposal to the Design Commission, and in turn, the Design Commission unanimously approved the project. The size of the building, as you heard, is permitted outright by the code. The property is zoned CM2. It's within the mixed-use urban center comp plan designation. It's in the Northwest Plan District. The city established a 2.5-to-1 base FAR and a 1.5-to-1 FAR bonus for including inclusionary housing. The applicant here has earned that bonus and also earned the corollary 10 feet in height to build those units. So this project, as you heard from Ms. Jeffries, implements and utilizes both those city intended incentives, comes in at 3.81 FAR, under the maximum and in full compliance with the height. So the project was also subject to the community design guidelines, and obviously that's what's at issue here, and only one of those guidelines, guideline P1.1. I will say that on the appellant's list, they testified that the appeal is not about the Design Commission's opinion or the staff's opinion on the design guidelines. That is all the appeal is about. The Design Commission and the staff are put in charge of interpreting those guidelines as they apply to a particular project and determining whether or not the various ways you can meet that guideline have been satisfied here, which they found. So that guideline addresses urban character and encourages new buildings that are taller than 4 stories to use step backs for a purpose. And the guideline says to contribute to a more consistent streetscape and to maintain neighborhood scale. So under that guideline, and it also talks about street frontage and how that should be divided into distinct components that reflect the district's established pattern of partial block massing. So the simple and literal reading of this guideline is for the commission to review all the upper stories in the plural of the proposal in the context of the existing buildings to the front, sides, and back of the project, as well as to the entirety of the neighborhood, and determine whether the proposal responds to the streetscape and neighborhood. And the Design Commission found just that in its unanimous findings. They particularly addressed this guideline because it was raised as an issue below. And they found that the building is broken into three distinct blocks to reflect the district's pattern of partial block massing. The ground floor is delineated to accommodate a variety of retail tenant sizes, with large tenant spaces anchoring the corners and four small in between. And they did specifically recognize that some of the facade is taller than most buildings in the area, it is within the allowable height limit. And they found that all design elements have been incorporated to address the four-story building height datum, the cornices and the datums, all very relevant to a determination of massing and responsiveness to neighborhood streetscape. This is a direct result, they said, of the step-down height at the west. That's a significant portion, almost a third of the north and south elevations are in fact four stories tall. And then that southwest parapet detail carries through the south and southeast. As to the frontage that seems to be of most concern, the eastern frontage, this is the contextual argument that Ms. Jeffries mentioned. This is straight across from the six-story Good Sam Hospital and on the streetcar line. So the distinct breaking up of the components of that, together with retail and the setback at the upper floor, was found to be directly consistent with the design guidelines. These findings were directly responsive to the same issue raised below by the appellant that's raised here again. So I want to now turn it over to Richard to walk you around the approved building. And then of course, we're available for any questions. Richard.
Let me try to share my screen here. Okay, can you hear me?
Yeah,
first question. Great. Good afternoon. I'm Richard Dobro with GBD Architects, the architect of the project under consideration today. As you've heard, today's appeal focuses on one part of the guidelines regarding step backs at upper floors. The guideline for urban character, district-wide considerations, states new buildings should have upper stories step back. Please note it says should, not must. It also does not specify to what depth or to what extent the step back should occur. Furthermore, the guidelines state development throughout the Northwest District should contribute to maintaining the district's architectural scale and fine-grained pattern of development. The notion of maintaining the district scale speaks to the district's current and ever-evolving built environment. It's important to look at the context both nearby and throughout the district. And this is what we see. The immediate surroundings consist of single family houses, 2 to 4.5 story apartments to the west, 1 to 4 story commercial buildings to the north and south, and the large legacy Good Samaritan Hospital complex to the east. The hospital, by virtue of its size and height, dominates the local context, which is unlike any other location along Northwest 23rd. While only 6 floors tall, it is actually closer to the equivalent of 8 stories due to its tall floors. This is the view from Marshall Street, just across Northwest 23rd Avenue. Looking at district-wide context, we see newer developments of 5 and 6 floors with no setbacks at the upper floors. One such example at Northwest Lovejoy, shown at the bottom right, is just a couple blocks from our project site along the streetcar line. And it's not just recent developments that don't set back upper floors. many older buildings that define the Northwest District character are similar. On Northwest 23rd, not too far from this site, we see 5 floors with no setback. On Northwest 21st, we see 6 floors with no setback, and another at 5.5 floors with no setback. What some of these buildings do have is a cornice at the top floor, an architectural feature seen here, here, and here. It is our opinion that cornice details are relevant to architectural scale and in opposition to the appeal item B. Now, looking at the proposed building along Northwest 23rd Avenue, we see that the building does in fact acknowledge the district's architectural scale with a metal cornice that has been mentioned at the 4-story height on the south building and a projecting brick cornice with a 6-inch step back at the upper floor in the center portion of the building, you can see here. The North Street frontage shows portions of the facade set back 2 feet from the outer face of the building and the building height and proportion diminishing as it approaches the residential zone to the west. This step down in height, regardless of whether it is required by other code sections, does in fact address the guideline content about streetscape consistency and neighborhood scale in contrast to the appeal item A. The west side, while not a street facade, has a required 10-foot building setback, plus an additional non-required 15-foot setback to the majority of the facade to provide even greater separation to the adjacent houses. And at the southwest, we see a similar stepping down response to the neighborhood scale, where the cornice at the 4-story datum becomes the roof parapet edge. In conclusion, we believe the proposed building incorporates architectural features that reflect the desired characteristics and traditions of the district and maintains the district's architectural scale and its fine-grained pattern of development, and therefore meets the guidelines. This proposal was recommended for approval by the planning staff and unanimously approved by the Design Commission, who found that the project responds well to its surrounding mixed-use context, will enhance the public realm along the street frontage, especially Northwest Portland's Main Street, Northwest 23rd Avenue, and demonstrates quality and resilience through its design features and materials. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you. Colleagues, any questions of Richard? Seeing none at this particular point, we'll hear now from people who agree generally with what Richard just said, opponents of the appeal. Keelan, do we have anyone signed up?
We have, yes, we have one person signed up, Ian McKenzie.
All right, very good. 3 minutes, name for the record, please.
Good afternoon. My name is Ian McKenzie, and I'm here to oppose this appeal. On Monday, my boyfriend and I went to see a film at Cinema 21. It felt really great to be back in a cinema for the first time in a year and a half. After the film, we went to grab some Bike Town bikes at Northwest 21st and Johnson. While I was unlocking my bike, I looked over to the building across the street, which you can see behind me in my background, and thought about how strange it is that City Council was going to be spending their Wednesday afternoon discussing whether a 5-story building needs to have its 5th floor set back from the street. The building that I was looking at was the American Apartment Building, a 5.5-story building built in 1891, that is today listed on the National Register of Historic Places. Its 5th floor doesn't set back from the street. Neither does that of the 5-story Campbell Hotel, built in 1912 and today listed on the National Register. You might know that building because it houses McMenamin's Ramshead Pub in its ground floor. Neither does the Tudor Arms or the Wickersham Apartments or the St. Francis Apartments, all of which are 5 or more stories and listed on the National Register. I think you get where I'm going with this. Indeed, I can't think of a single example of a building in Northwest that sets back the way the appellants are asking this building to. That goes for both historic buildings and modern buildings. If you take a walk through what used to be the Conway parking lots in Slabtown, you'll see a lot of 6-story buildings that don't set their upper stories back because there's zero precedent for it. Indeed, just a few blocks away from the proposed building site, there is the Franklin Eyde at Northwest 23rd and Lovejoy. That building, built in 2012, is 6 stories tall, and again, it doesn't have a setback upper floor from the street. The appellants are asking you to institute a new standard that is neither found in historic buildings in the neighborhood, nor in other new buildings that have gone through Portland's rigorous design review system. The NWA are arguing that this building will set a precedent. On the contrary, it follows well-established precedent. I encourage you to reject this appeal and uphold the Design Commission's decision. Thank you very much.
Very good, thank you. And at this point, we will offer the opportunity for a rebuttal by the appellant, should they so choose.
I do, and again, I'll try and keep this brief. I would just remind the council that this appeal is on the basis of the finding for one guideline, for one building. And I appreciate the citation of other design aspects of this building and the many historic precedents in this neighborhood that also don't comply to this guideline. But again, those things are essentially irrelevant to the consideration of this appeal. This appeal is about whether this building meets this guideline. Just for reference, I think as you all understand, the buildings that were referred to in the Conway master plan area are not subject or superseded by the Conway master plan. The comment that the step back death is not specified, I mean, that's certainly true, but the intent of the step back is certainly specified, and that is that it reduced the visual impact of the building on the street envelope, which certainly pretty clearly suggests that 6 inches is not going to do that. Further, I would like to finally just respond to the comment that the staff and commission's opinions are what this is all about. I hope not. I hope the staff and the commission are both understand their relationship to enforcing the guidelines. And obviously standards are less flexible than guidelines, and guidelines do have some flexibility, but not an infinite amount of flexibility. And we are not really talking about staff opinions, at least hopefully we aren't, nor are we talking about design commission preferences. We're talking about, does this building meet this guideline? Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Colleagues, that gets us to the end of the structure as previously identified by legal counsel. At this point, we can have a discussion or somebody can make a motion. Commissioner Hardesty.
Mayor, I move that we vote to uphold the Design Commission's recommendation.
Sorry to interrupt. Before we deliberate, you need to close the record if you're going to go ahead and make a tentative vote.
All right. Then at this point, the evidentiary record in this hearing is now closed. That means the council will accept no more oral or written testimony on this land use appeal. And Lauren, just to be clear, you know, Commissioner Hardesty's made a motion. If there's a second and we vote, it's still a tentative vote, correct?
That's right. And then we'll come back with findings to reflect today's hearing.
Okay, very good. So Commissioner Hardesty has made a motion. Do we have a second? I will second it. With that, further discussion? I'll just put my two cents in here now rather than wait until I take my vote. Steve, I empathize with your position in terms of what I think would make this, first of all, I'll just say, I think the building as proposed is a significant improvement over what is currently there. I know that that has been a block that has struggled for some time. And while I agree with you that my personal preference is a more significant step back for the top or top stories. My personal finding or belief based on what has been presented today is that it is not a requirement. And I do believe the architects have made a good faith effort here to reflect not only context, but also the substance of the requirements around design review. I believe they meet that threshold. and therefore I will be opposing the appeal. I don't know if anybody else has any other comment at this particular time. Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you, Mayor. I just also just want to say, just based on reviewing the record and the due diligence of the design review process, I am very comfortable in voting to uphold their decision and to deny the appeal today. I just feel like a lot of work and due diligence has gone into this, and I'm actually impressed that there's not more opposition, right? Traditionally, there, if the design commission is really off kilt, we would have a lot more opposition here today telling us why this is the worst thing that could happen in Northwest. And though I am a big admirer of the work of the Northwest Downtown Association, I trust the work that's been put into this and am ready to move forward.
Thank you, Commissioner Hardesty. Seeing no other comments or questions, I would ask Keelan to call the roll. And again, this is a tentative vote.
And then we'll need to set a date to return for the findings, but go ahead.
Hardesty.
Aye.
Maps.
Aye.
Rubio.
Aye.
Ryan.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The motion carries, and that is a tentative vote of the City Council. Can we now get a date and a time certain, please, for the final vote?
So Keelan, before you do that, and I apologize, I have to do this on camera, but Christy is the attorney representing the prevailing party. So because under the code, she'll prepare the revised findings and coordinate with our office. So Christy, what's your timeline?
Thank you for asking. We can work with the first possible hearing date that you have back that works for staff.
And then Grace, how, your timeline as well. Do you have any vacations or are you okay? So Keelan, what's the next date you can bring this back?
I mean, are you looking like next week or do you need a little more time than that?
Go ahead, Lauren, go ahead.
If we just need a date and time certain, we could do next week if Christy can give us some revised findings by Friday for staff, if that works for you, Grace, and then we can file them with the Tuesday memo.
In that case, we have a 10:15 on Wednesday, the 21st.
And Grace and Christy, that works for everyone? Okay, and it's a tight turnaround for land use findings, but this is a very narrow appeal, so I just want to confirm. And thank you everyone for, normally we coordinate this off camera, so I apologize.
No problem.
Or in the room. Okay. So yeah, Wednesday the 21st at 10:15 a.m. time certain for a final decision.
All right, very good. Is there anything else we need to do then?
No.
All right, well, that completes our business for this afternoon session. Thank you, everyone. We are adjourned.
Yeah.